I'm sitting with Terry Reid from the Gender Identity Research and Education Society, or GIRES. Terry, like me, you've been sitting all the way today through the SOGIAG stakeholder meeting. What was your impression of the day?
Well, it's both exciting and also, I suppose, always slightly frustrating. It's exciting that so much is happening and things have moved forward so much. There's always that sense of frustration, though, at the work that still has to be done and the barriers we looked at in the afternoon session. So many of the barriers that we identified were to do with prejudice, discrimination against trans people. And it's not easy to eradicate those things from the scene when you're looking at medical treatment. And so that's rather sad. But otherwise, I think it's been a very encouraging day. And I think it's particularly good that we are now working so well with the LGB groups.
Okay. Which do you think are the biggest of the barriers?
Well, if one's going to be specific and talk about treatment and the barriers to the kind of treatment which I'd like to see trans people having, I suppose the attitudes of a small number but of very powerful psychiatrists who seem to have been in the driving seat for so long, and it's very difficult to shift their attitudes towards trans people. I think there's a very good argument for saying they shouldn't be involved at all, but how you get directly from the situation that we have now where they are in the driving seat to one where they're not at all is obviously going to take time. And so I would say having them there at all is a problem. Having some there who have these very poor attitudes towards trans people is one of the biggest barriers to overcome.
Okay, now GIRES has a contract from the Department of Health as a result of the SOGIAG work to develop some literature to help to educate both trans people and people in primary care about the issues and how to pursue their rights and so on. How's that work going?
Well, it's moving forward. Quite a lot has been done behind the scenes. We're sort of two-thirds or three-quarters of the way through a lot of the documents that will form a part of the whole. But because they've all got to interlink, it's difficult to... You can't do one at a time. You have to bring the whole thing forward together. And, of course, one of the things we're looking at is ways in which we might address the difficulties that I've just been talking about, and we're trying very hard to do that within the text, partly by doing something that I know you're very keen on, which is looking at practices elsewhere in the world. And I have been doing that. Some of them have big advantages, but they also have a downside as well quite often, so you need to cherry-pick those bits of each piece of guidance, if you like, that would be helpful here and that one would like to see.
What do you think is the biggest change we could see?
Well, I suppose the biggest change would be one in attitudes, but I think another big change that we could see, if we can sort of play our cards right, is that treatment would move out to be based in local areas so that people could access it through their GP and not have to travel long distances to clinics where the treatment, frankly, just doesn't suit everybody. And because they have tended to have an approach which is one size fits all, it by definition is not going to suit everybody. But if people can access treatment locally, which in the main I think they can, it would free up the clinics, which are, let's face it, going to be around for a while, for those people who do fit the particular protocols that they enforce. So I think the biggest change, well, at least the biggest change that I'd like to see, is having treatment moved out to the various local areas.
Terry, thank you very much.
You're welcome.